Welcome to the Site Visit Podcast, leadership and perspective from construction, with your host, James Faulkner.
Live from BuildX Vancouver 2024.
Sean, hello, how are you?
Doing well, James, how you doing?
Good, so Naidu.
You already messed it up.
Okay, let's cut that.
No, it's all good.
Apparently your dad's going to disown me and we're not even related
that's
yet.
That's right.
So that's good. So for Matra Construction.
Yes, sir.
So how's things been going over there?
Amazing. I've been part of the team for, in a month it's going to be 8 years.
Eight years. That's a long haul doing anything.
That's right. Probably about 40, 50 pounds lighter when I joined. Lot more black hairs. But despite my appearance, it's been a blast. It's a great team, and I'm really pumped to be part of the family there.
That's cool. We Kelsey shared an image of you guys have a, I think it's a Lululemon project you guys are doing.
That's right.
And then there's the board with all the QR codes that you guys have generated out of SiteMax.
Yeah.
And everyone's doing their thing on that. It's pretty amazing to see.
It is.
You know, like, seeing an image like that, you know, from starting this company and watching you guys work with that way, it's like such a cool thing to see. So thank you guys very much for that engagement and seeing that. It's such a great thing.
Of course. I know we're huge fans. We have been raving about the company to anybody that asks us. Sometimes we do it without being asked.
That's very nice. Thank you.
But yeah, it's been a huge help for our field staff, our administrative staff, and everybody in the hole.
Nice. So that's pretty cool. So so you're a really good example of somebody to ask in terms of adopting technology. It doesn't matter if it's SiteMax or Procore or Autodesk. It doesn't matter what it is. How has that, what's that journey been like? Has it been difficult? How do you get everyone to kind of buy in, do it? And how much pressure from top down can you really apply to that without breaking attitudes and breaking people's, you know, attention in general to the end product of the job itself?
Yeah, that's a great question. Obviously, a lot of it comes top down. A lot of it is seeing what the Joneses are doing and trying to keep up. I think a lot of, in terms of how the technology gets adapted, is how easy is it to use?
Yeah.
How powerful is it? How proficient is it? Does it make your life easier? And tools like SiteMax and some of the other tools we use, they do that. So it's not as difficult to transition. I might be a bad example because I still use Excel for my budgets and my spreadsheets. We've pivoted. We've tried some other tools and technologies out there, but I personally just seem to revert back.
Is it because of the agility of those?
Exactly.
Because that's what it is, right? You're not stuck in some format.
Yeah. It's extremely malleable.
Right.
A lot of times, you know, we're seeing the industry trend towards construction management contracts, and we can talk about that a little bit later.
Okay.
But especially when we're doing a stip sum and the clock's ticking and you got 5 minutes and you're getting your last numbers coming in, Excel just gives you some malleability and agility, like you mentioned, and you're able to manipulate cells and formulas really quickly.
Yeah, and you can make your own formulas, your own thing. You might even have your own little inventions you've done in there and
that kind
of stuff. Yeah.
That's right.
It's interesting, you know, when we talk about you know, why many construction companies do so many different things. And you guys, you know, probably see this a little bit more with particular subtrades, for instance. Subtrades, there's not many industries where a bunch of businesses show up with their own processes to a business trying to do something.
Right.
Right? So there's no way you can go and say to your subtrade, no, you go and do all your own records our way. You can say some of them are your way.
Yeah.
But they're going to have their own records and the things that they need to do for their own processes to pay their own people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I found that, I mean, we have, you know, a lot of subtrades using SiteMax. And just like you were saying, the agility and malleability of an Excel spreadsheet, a lot of companies have not necessarily come out of professional training of running a business.
Right.
And this is more on the subtrade side. They start with a particular trade or skill and it turns into a business. They ended up hiring their brother, they hired their cousin. Now they're, sister-in-law now does the accounting, and it's all this kind of a thing.
Right.
And they end up inventing stuff because they didn't all go to school to run their business a certain way, and were all trained with a united kind of outcome.
Right.
So they end up with inventions of how they do their business. And then they go to a SaaS platform, and they go, well, that's not how we do things. Actually, no one does it how you do it.
Right.
Because you invented it.
That's right.
Right? So they're like, yeah, but, you know, we've been doing this for 10 years, and we do $20, $30 million in sales. We've been doing it since 1990, whatever. And it's worked for them.
Right.
But now they're being mandated into something else. So what on your side, you know, with Matra, and, you know, you've worked with Sitemax, et cetera, and you've probably looked at a lot of other things. Some projects you get asked to use something else,
right,
obviously, yep, and that can happen. So how have you seen the landscape from your side of things, you know, as a customer?
That's a great question. So in terms of interfacing with our trade partners,
yeah,
we really partner with them. And so we're really fortunate where I'm at a position where I get to leverage relationships that our companies have with these trades for years and
yeah,
these people, frankly, right? So a lot of times they do adopt our systems. Just drew a blank there. A lot of times they do adopt our systems.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, they're doing something that might be even more proficient, and then we'll let them kind of carry on their way as long as it fits into what we're trying to achieve at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So we don't often get a ton of pushback from our trades. We use the same partners over and over again.
So
we have a large roster.
It.
So they get used to it.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of that friction that you might have otherwise. I don't know if that answers your question.
It does. Yeah. No, it totally does. So we were talking quite a bit along the podcast. You know, some of the themes that I've been noticing have been going on is why construction is so slow to adopt new, like really cutting edge technologies.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the responses we've had is because they're busy building stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't have, if you're going to try something else, you have to do something twice.
That's right.
Right? Which sucks. You have to do the thing that is actually your compliance and all of the processes you need to actually build the thing you're doing to get paid.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, we'll try this other thing. It's like, okay, well, you know, Karen, Mike, and Stephanie now have to do something twice.
Yes.
It's like, that sucks. They don't
yes
want to do that.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And half the time you're like, okay, well, I've got to do this. I've got to ask my staff to do something more without paying them more. I know that sounds
yeah
crazy, but they're having to make their day harder for the benefit of the business, which is a little bit tough, right? When you think about, you know, why do I have to take one for the team?
Right.
Does that make sense, right?
Right. No, it does. It does. Absolutely.
I mean, you got to be a real into the company to be able to, like, you know, my day was twice as hard for someone else's benefit.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, further compounding that is we have stakeholders who also have people that they answer to. And if you told them we're demoing some technology and that's why we're slowed down, that's
they're
not
like,
their problem.
I know,
it's not
exactly
the problem who they're reporting to. So I think that goes back to what I mentioned earlier with as long as the tool is, I don't want to say easy to use, but for a lack of better words, let's say easy to use.
Yeah.
And efficient, and you can see where it's heading and you can accept that it's heading to a good place, it's a lot easier to sell and get people to adopt it.
Yeah.
And that's something you'd find with Sitemax, frankly.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. No, I appreciate that. I mean, there's something where I have an example. Of, like, I always think about, you know, building stuff and the, especially in the field, it really is about you have to become the nail gun of technology.
Right.
You know, you can sit there and you can, it's got to be better than, you know, lining up a nail and hitting it with a hammer. If you've got a
right,
you're winning.
Right.
Because the thing's, you know, on a roll, and how much faster is that?
That's
way
right
faster. So we always, I mean, Julian, who you guys know you've worked quite a bit with, he's always like, how are we the nail gun here?
Right.
We need to be the nail gun on every single piece, because
yes
if we're not doing it.
That's right.
So it's got to create that efficiency. So in the field, how did you, do you guys have a bring your own device program, or do you guys supply everyone with phones, or how does that all work?
Yeah, it's a little bit up onto the employees. Kelsey's probably better suited to answer this, but for the phones, we'll supply the guys with phones unless they have their own plan and they got some crazy skookum data plan that they want to keep, you know, then we'll compensate them for
spending.
In terms of personal
tools. Bring
your
own bill?
Yeah, kind of. In terms of tools, there's some tools that the company will supply. There is a minimum expectation that our field staff also provide for themselves.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we help out with like maintenance and whatnot and replacement of some stuff. And then we actually have a catalog of the tools that Matcher provides on-site max.
Yeah.
And we can tag it for when maintenance is due, when it needs to be replaced, what the condition of it is.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's kind of how we're treating that right now.
Yeah, nice. That's cool. I mean, that's on the sort of handheld tools kind of situation.
Yeah, all exactly.
That stuff. Do people bring their own tools, too, that they like?
Some of them do.
Really? Like
yeah,
their own,
some
they're
of them
like,
do.
I only use Milwaukee. I'm
that's
not
right.
working otherwise.
That's right.
Well, that's kind of cool.
That's right. Yeah, it's like a chef with their knives, right? They want to use what they're comfortable with.
Do you know what? There's always something that you know, before Sitemax, way my, and a lot of people have had multiple careers, but mine for many years was, I was a brand strategist and all those, like, figuring out what motivates people to do the things they do.
Right.
And you always think of, you know, brands as like, you know, something that is a consumer brand, like you guys are working with Lululemon, there's a perfect example. Somebody goes, oh, I only wear Lulu or whatever it is.
Right.
But I find that you could consider, you know, construction being blue collar and category is this culture is the most brand allegiant.
Yes.
Like, it's like I only you like I'm a DeWalt guy, I'm a Milwaukee, I'm a Makita.
That's
I'm
right.
A, like, and I don't, or a Ram or a Ford, or I don't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
So it's crazy how they're stuck in the ways of this is what. So the, I always find when a culture is really, stuck to that, it's almost like an extension of their identity is
right.
that I only use this
right.
kind of stuff. So that's obviously what we're hopefully trying to do with Sitemax. It's a lot difficult to do in software because you don't have that that response in your hand. You don't
right.
hear it. You don't feel it. There's no grip. There's
that's
no,
right.
it's kind of this, wow, what is this thing?
Did it work?
It didn't work. It's exactly. So yeah, so that's pretty cool. So do you see... Maybe let's just talk on a little bit on the speed of innovation in construction at Matcher. Do you guys are when you come to a trade show like this? Are your eyes kind of open where you're going? Okay, this I could see this later, but not now. Is there a lot of that going on? And you kind of you can build your dreams in a way.
Yeah, no, definitely. We see some things that we think are awesome fits now. We see some things that we think can be fits in the future. A big thing, frankly, I get out of coming to trade shows is just the networking, just meet with people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we think of this industry as just building and companies interacting with each other, but at the end of the day, it's people.
Yeah.
And relationship building. And I think for me, that's my biggest benefit out of these sort of events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Totally steered away from the technology talk at trade show.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was really evident yesterday. We got invited to the CLF's little mixer over there, kind of when the show was, you know, winding down. It was like 3 or 3:30. And just the people shaking hands again, doesn't that feel better?
Oh, so good.
God, I was so done with this whole, like, you know, when you, I hate to be, you know, a naysayer about people who are like, you know, crazy, I don't know. I guess you could call it.
Let's call them germaphobes for now.
Germaphobes, yeah, hypochondriacs, whatever.
Right.
They're like still walking around with masks on. I'm like,
right.
God, do you? Maybe you didn't like how it was before.
Right.
Maybe you never
right.
liked it.
I think
this is your Achilles. This is your like kryptonite or something.
Yeah, I don't know if trigger is the right word, but seeing somebody drive in a car by themselves with a mask on is like one of those.
You're like, no one's in the car.
Yeah, no, nobody else is in the car. It's just like, okay, look away before you get all fired up, right?
Thinking, what is going on here? Like, what is going on here?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I know.
Are you protecting us? Are you protecting somebody who's going to get in the car maybe in the future? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just odd.
I don't know. They're definitely not are driving Evos, that's for sure.
Right.
I don't think they'd even be able to touch the outside of the door. so maybe can you touch on, like, adopting technology, what are the challenges you think, and maybe that you guys didn't have, but you were maybe worried about that other companies are dealing with?
Yeah, I think we touched on a couple of them. One is having to do something twice.
Yeah.
Because you're going to do it in this new software, and it might not work properly. It might not look like how the person at the end is expecting to see it. So that's definitely something that can be a challenge. On top of doing it twice, it's time spent that you're learning how to use a tool that you could be spending working, potentially, right?
Yep.
So your day is a little bit longer now, and if it's not a smooth trip, maybe you're getting a little frustrated. There's maybe anxiety that you spend a whole lot of time learning to adopt something that in a year or two might not be used anymore.
Oh, yeah. Or it's like, why did I bother kind of thing?
Yeah,
we're not going to use this later, so why am I soaking up my time?
That's right. And then we're all, I mean, we talked about it earlier, we're all creatures of habit. We all have a certain way we like to navigate life. We talked about, you know, chefs with their knives, tradesmen with their tools. If you're playing hockey or any sort of sport, you'll have an equipment line so that you like
CCM
to use.
Either CCM or something else.
Exactly, exactly. So I think it's trying to get over that. And there's also anxiety, fear of the unknown. You're using something new, right? You're just not in your happy, safe, comfortable
spot.
But
dig into that a little bit. Like the anxiety of the unknown, like where does that, how does that manifest itself with most people that you've found that?
Right. I don't know. I mean, if we're going to go off on a tangent, it probably comes down to a little bit of tribalism and surviving. You know, the unknowns come.
See,
it's
I like
a
that.
Little, it's a little unnerving.
Because this is human nature.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. So, would you say in construction there are certain tribes then?
Yeah, I think it's definitely in the industry. I think, so we've had an older generation that's kind of retiring. We have a whole lot of work here.
Is that like Lion King stuff where they got the old guy? And
the old guy, is that Rafiki or Mufasa?
Yeah, I think it's Mufasa, isn't it?
Mufasa, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was the nasty one, right? Oh, no, he was
the
good
patriarch.
One.
Yeah, yes. That was Mufasa. Yeah. He got Scar.
Oh, Scar. Yeah, oh, yeah. That's right. Okay, yeah.
Oh, man, what were we talking about there? Tribalism.
Yeah, you were talking about you got some of the generation that is kind of like probably holding on to old ways. And
yeah, exactly. And so a lot of them are leaving the industry, and then we've got a whole ton of work that's out on the market. And so we've almost been forced to bring in people and market to individuals who might not necessarily get into construction.
Yeah.
And so I do feel like our anxiety of keeping with the same and being comfortable all the time is going just by nature of we need to diversify the workforce and have people come in that might not typically have gone into construction, and they'll have their own ways of doing things.
But
and,
it's forced diversity, really.
It's forced diversity.
Because we just need the jobs filled.
That's right.
Right, okay. That's right. So there's just too much work and not enough people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's just talk. So is there a... So you've been in this for 8 years.
Matchrite 8 years. I worked at a developer's office for about 3 years before that.
Okay.
I had my own company for a year and then worked with a friend and their family building a couple
houses. Okay, so we're talking 12 to 15 years almost.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's cool. Is there a definite tribal difference between field and office?
Yeah, it's like Lost when they ran into the outsiders or the others.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just joking. So there definitely can be, and I think coming out of COVID, you felt it again. I know when I joined Matro, one of my favorite things about the company was the cohesiveness of everything. It was really like a family, not that it isn't now, but COVID happened, and all of a sudden there was the separation between the field and the office. A lot of people are working from home. In the field, you can't.
So there's like an inherent right
that absolutely.
An office person gets to choose, and they can't.
Right, totally.
Which sucks, right?
Totally. And then on top of that, we've got certain protocols where people coming into the office and visitors, you're using one door, you're being here, you're leaving. So not that there was a division, but a separation a little bit, right? I think it's kind of normal. And then when we came back to the office, you know, the office staff, you kind of huddle in your little alcove, and then the field staff come in, and it's a little awkward. You haven't seen each other in a few years.
Yeah. They're like, where have you been?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been working on our sites for a couple of years.
We've been making the money.
Yeah.
We've been building this stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we definitely have made a more concerted effort. And I think that's where Kelsey comes in. She's our office manager at HR and the ownership. And so we're starting to get back to what we used to do previously was a lot of activities together. Paintballing. I think we're going bowling in a couple of weeks.
Nice. That's really cool.
Golf tournament. Dinners, that sort of thing, barbecues at the office. So it's really important, I think, for us to to bridge whatever gap may have formed. Because at the end of the day, we all like to think we're really important in the office, but people pay us to build things for them,
yeah.
And the people in the field are the ones building the things
Correct.
For them.
Yeah.
We're just there to support them. And
so how much of your work is self-performance? How much do you sub out? What do you think that percentage is? Because it depends on the job.
Great question. I get asked all the time, and I think I give everybody a different number. But,
yeah. Different projects, different things.
Yeah, totally. I'd say the vast majority is subbed out. If I had to put a percentage to it, let's call it 90%.
Right, okay.
We'll do carpentry in-house, rough carpentry, you know, the finishing stuff. We'll also sub that out
to a
mill workshop. And then labor and cleaning and site supervision and a lot of our safety officer stuff.
Yeah, right. So what's kind of interesting about the different tribes is that, you know, one of the things that started SiteMax, I don't know if you know this origin story, it's kind of interesting, but, you know, after, you know, getting rid of digital cameras and getting rid of laptops and, you know, getting an iPad app and then all the images that were coming in from the job, we created something called Project View, and this was a Google page that you would, you know, load up on and you would stream it into your big screen TV.
Okay.
And we had this at the construction company that we worked on with SiteMax before SiteMax was SiteMax.
Right.
And the point of this was to engage the office to understand what's going on in the field.
Right.
So that, you know, at that time, you know, they had a reception desk and, you know, the lady would be behind the reception desk and she would always, you know, greet field workers when they would come in. They might be picking up a check or doing something or coming into the office for some reason for a meeting or whatever it was. But the office always knew, even if they weren't interacting with the field, and obviously project coordinators and project managers are interfacing all the time, but there are other people in the company, accounting, whatever, that never talk to those people.
Right.
Right? And even sometimes, you know, the presidents or the VPs or all that, they're not talking to them either.
Right.
And there's kind of this project consciousness that kind of gets lost. So they even forget that, you know, John Smith was here and his project's like 80% complete. What does it look like? Well, they haven't been to the site, and especially if you're doing stuff indoors.
Right.
You know, you can't drive up to it and look at it.
Building looks the same.
The building looks the same, but stuff going on inside.
That's right.
So the cool thing is that this project view basically gave project consciousness around the culture of work and the culture of projects of what was going on. And that worked really well, and that's sort of how SiteMax started, because a subtrade came in and said, what is that?
Yeah.
And this thing we built, and that's, you know, that's how that went. So I've always been interested in how you break down, tribal barriers between office and field.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, some of it, I think it's almost, I don't want to say forced mingling, but you got to bring the people together.
You do.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, we've got an amazing team, both in the office and in the field. Arfan, who heads up our business development and estimating side of things, always says him and I have the easiest job in the world because we have a group of people who work on what we're pricing out and trying to get, who care so much about what they're doing that our clients just want to keep working with us over and over again.
Yeah.
And so we're really fortunate that we have, again, an amazing group, good people.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, so just a little plug on Matra then. So let's just talk about that for a sec.
Okay.
A specialty, maybe that's sort of change, or it's just a business you're going for right now. Maybe just give a little pitch so everyone knows what Matra is like. What's your sweet spot?
Absolutely. I'd say that our bread and butter is office TIs, corporate office space.
Yeah,
probably makes up about 70% of our revenue, I'd say. We do a little bit of retail, mostly the major banks locally.
Yeah.
We'll do some landlord work. We're really happy to work with all the major landlords in Vancouver.
Yeah.
That's probably another 10-15% of our revenue. But we're a general contracting CM firm. We work with a lot of tech companies, some movie production companies.
Yeah.
I don't know which NDAs we've got signed, so I'm going to be very careful on what names I drop.
You don't have to say anything, but
awesome. Yes.
We can read between the lines.
Yeah, an amazing Vancouver-based athleisure company. We're working on their campus right now.
Yeah, I did mention that name, so you're safe.
Awesome, very, very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and the website is?
www.matra.ca.
Perfect.
We just launched it like 2 years ago. It's ironic I'm on a technology podcast because I think we've been very, not averse, but slow. Yeah, well, we just launched an Instagram page.
Oh, cool.
I don't have the link there, but I can provide that.
I'm sure you can find that. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, John. Well, thank you for coming on. We appreciate your business. Thank you very much. And welcome to BuildX.
Absolutely. Thanks, awesome. James.
Thanks,
it's been
man.
A pleasure.
Thank you. Well, that does it for another episode of The Site Visit. Thank you for listening. Be sure to stay connected with us by following our social accounts on Instagram and YouTube. You can also sign up for our monthly newsletter at sitemaxsystems.com/thesitevisit, where you'll get industry insights, pro tips, and everything you need to know about The Site Visit podcast and SiteMax, the job site and construction management tool of choice for thousands of contractors in North America and beyond. SiteMax is also the engine that powers this podcast. All right, let's get back to building.